When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to the Eat 'Em Up Pod, your home for Detroit Tigers opinions, discussion, nonsense, and more. Now, here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Alex Urban.
Welcome to Eat 'Em Up. Alex, we have actual baseball to talk about.
Regular season, baby. Spring training is in the rearview mirror, and I couldn't be happier. 4-0 start. Let's go!
So here's the thing, and I want to get out in front of this. I'm sure AJ Hinch would tell you, hey, let's be chill. Let's work on this. Maybe even other podcasts and writers would say, you know, let's see this play out. I'm saying we're 4-0. Live it up. You don't know when we're going to be good again. We're 4-0. We're in first place. Twins are a game and a half behind us. They suck. I mean, we're on top of the world. I don't see any reason not to enjoy this.
They might never lose again, Jordan. 162-0 is in reach.
It's been literally months since they've lost.
Literally months. And, you know, there's some teams like the Chicago White Sox that haven't won since September of last year. I mean, what does that say?
Actually, the guy that's constantly trolling us on this show, my good friend, other Jordan, he sent me a graphic that since the start of September, the Tigers have the most wins at Guaranteed Rate Field, followed by like four or five other teams. And then you finally get to the White Sox.
Are they above or below a wild pack of raccoons? That's all I need to know.
I think they're right at that mark.
Sounds about right.
So it's been a crazy busy couple days. We're down in Charleston for spring break. This is a lovely city. I've never been here before. This is nice. I could get used to it down here.
I've never been to Charleston. Give me some highlights.
This is going to sound nerdy. I'm a big bridge guy. I love bridges. There's a big one. But there's also a couple different kinds of water. You got like the harbor, which is where Fort Sumter, for the history nerds, that's where that's at. And there's also like ocean, which is, I mean, beaches there. And you got history. I'd be lying if I said I knew exactly. It's one of the first cities, if not actually the first. I don't know. But it's old.
Thank God you chose Charleston, not Baltimore for this trip if you're a fan of bridges, you know.
Agreed.
Too soon, agreed. I'm sorry.
Too might soon. Be a little too soon. Yeah, but, you know. So we're actually in an Airbnb, which hopefully will supply us with good enough Wi-Fi to make this happen. Got me thinking, what are some things that make a really good Airbnb for you?
I don't like to have any kind of correspondence or meeting with the host. I want a little bit of like a hotel experience, and the fact that like I want the automatic keypad or whatever it is. I've had a few experiences where the host lingers, and I just really don't like that. You know, if they kind of want to just explain what the rules are, I can live with it. But if you're hanging out and you kind of want to like do a budding friendship and it's your first Airbnb experience as a host, I'm just not into it, man. Just get out of my space. Like you are hosting the area, and I'm paying for it. So get lost.
Yeah, this is an exchange of goods and services. We don't need to become friends. I hadn't really considered that, but absolutely true. That sounds like my nightmare.
I mean, if I can quote Pineapple Express, you don't hang out with the Chinese food delivery guy after he drops off your food.
I mean, absolutely correct. The big one for me is I love a elaborate and really luxurious shower, which actually we coincidentally have here. Being clean is one of, honestly, I love being clean more than I love the Tigers, maybe about like 5 to 10 times. So it's a big thing for me. I love a good shower. Love the raindrop ones where it comes from above you, a nice like stone ground. For whatever reason, it seems like Airbnb sometimes will go all out, and that's what I'm about.
I'm way into that. I love a luxurious shower as well. You are a man of class and sophistication, if I've never said it before.
That may be the first time I've ever been called that, but I appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad to hear you and Whit had a wonderful time.
Yeah, definitely. Another couple more days. So if you see us out and about, I'm sure you're just as likely to see us out about as you downtown Detroit on Monday or whenever it is. But yeah, say what's up. Are you ready to talk some ball?
Let's talk ball, Jordan.
Hi, Tigers fans. It's Dan Dickerson, and you're listening to the Eat 'Em Up Pod with Jordan and Alex. Go Tigers!
All right. I have in my notes first place. That's all. That's the whole thing. We are in first place,
and we're not looking back. And they're not going to release that death grip on first place throughout the entirety of the season. Four games in, it might as well be halfway through the season.
Might as well be. I mean, in horse racing, they would just call that gate to wire. I think there's. It's not a good division. Like there is. So I feel like we're speaking a lot of tongue in cheek. But there is a non-zero chance that we actually can wire this division. We're seemingly on the upswing, and the other teams are all trash. I mean, that'll obviously come back to bite us, but they're trash.
No, all jokes aside, this division is more winnable this season than it has been in season past. I mean, you see the Royce Lewis injury in Minnesota. Byron Buxton can never stay on the field. Obviously. The Chicago White Sox might be historically bad. The Royals, I really don't have much of a feel on. The Guardians are always going to have pitching, but they've got J-Ram and a lineup of largely AAA players. So this is the season for the Tigers to go get it if they want it and if they can keep this momentum. And as we're recording, they're stuck in the middle of a rain delay in New York, which I hate because I feel like they have a lot of momentum right now, a lot of momentum that they could keep going, start the season, might I dare say, 9-0 against some really bad opponents and really vault this thing into a competitive season that where you're just going to claim the division and not look back.
Yeah, we were really dealt a nice hand coming out of the gate. And I know it's, you know, I said in the open, just enjoy, which, yeah, absolutely enjoy. We are playing some not great teams, but then again, it's a new season. Maybe these teams actually will be good, and we're beating some of them. Obviously, that is also tongue in cheek. How long do you? So, obviously, neither of us play baseball at a major league level. I'm not sure if the audience was aware of that. But how long do you think it takes before, like, all of a sudden, they kind of just think, like, you know what, we're a good team. We just win. I feel like success breeds success. We've had a little bit of it. I feel like we're not too awfully far from just kind of that expectation. Like, you know, we're going to find a way to win most nights. I feel like we had that back during the glory days. I don't think it's too difficult to assume we'd get that again.
No. And this young team just needs that taste of winning and sustained winning to really take off. And you need guys to start to step into their, what in my mind, defined roles. You need, you know, a little bit more, a lot more from Spencer Torkelson, Riley Green. But if you can really get the offense rolling with the way this rotation, this bullpen is looking, you know, 1 month through the season, if they're still really cranking out the wins and they look like this is a sustainable ship to take to the end of the season, there is no reason why this can't be one of the best seasons in the last 20 years of Tigers baseball.
Yeah, which, man, hunger and thirsting for that. Like, the fan base is so desperate. It's, it would be huge. I feel like I've honed in on a few things, but, like, what are some of the things that have jumped out at you in the first couple games?
I am a huge fan of how the bullpen's looking, and more so maybe how AJ Hinch has mixed and matched the lineup to attack the other team's bullpen. I really like how Tarek Skubal is looking. Carson Kelly is my man crush right now.
And that's fair. I completely agree with that. Yep.
Jason Foley is a fever dream for me. I mean, his stuff is just disgusting in the best kind of ways.
He was good last year, but correct me if I'm wrong, this is a little bit even beyond what we could have hoped for, right? Like, I'm not, like, missing this on his resume. He's unbelievable right now.
No, he's unhittable. And I know we've been quite facetious so far in this episode, but, you know, if you're throwing 102 with that much movement and you're painting the quarters, you really have elite stuff. And I'm not talking about just elite in terms of the Tigers bullpen. That is elite in terms of all of baseball relievers. And can I go as far to say I think he has grabbed this closer role officially?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that, like, he will end up the closer, like, you know, Alex Lang ends up with zero, or Shelby Miller ends up with, I think he already has one, ends up with, you know, two or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I would be very surprised at this point if he doesn't get 90%+ of the saves, which I feel like part of me feels really bad for Alex Lang. He didn't necessarily pitch his way out of the job last year, but like, he didn't grab it either. Like, it's kind of not really. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of sympathy there, and fully, like, you can't move him out of the role that he is just dominating in. But even beyond him, like, obviously Chafin gave up the home run, but the previous outing he was just lights out. Shelby Miller's look good. Tyler Holton, absolute stud. Man, yeah. The bullpen is like, give this bullpen to the like JD era Tigers, and I think we've got a banner and a ring, and man,
multiple rings. Timing. Yeah, multiple rings. I love Tyler Holton. I love the way he's throwing the ball coming off of last year. Fiedo has looked really good to
Fiedo,
me.
Yeah.
I love the Shelby Miller addition. Alex Lang looked rough in that one outing where he walked three, but you know, it's still early. I'm going to give him a shot. But all of the pieces combined, we haven't seen Joey Wentz yet, but all of the pieces combined, this is just a lethal combination, what you have out there in the bullpen, on top of a starting rotation that, you know, is still very early, but looks good so far, minus the Kenta Baeda start. But, I mean, Skubal, filthy. Olsen, yes,
agreed.
Dynamite stuff. Liked what I saw from Jack Flaherty. I mean, there was some good things, some things that, you know, you'd like to see improvements on the whole, I do not have too many gripes at all in terms of the pitching staff, which is the complete opposite of what I'm going to say in terms of the hitters. But, yeah, in terms of pitchers, A+ across the board. Love it.
Okay. So it's the hitting, despite being 4-0, is obviously, I mean, it's not a secret. It hasn't been great. Let's talk a couple good things before we jump to the massive amount of not so good things. Mark Canna has started like a house on fire. Love that. I was worried that maybe he wouldn't start very hot and the fan base would grow a little weary of him. Instead, that went to Kenta Maeda, who most people seem to be ready to ship down the road already. But love that he's doing that. And Andy Ibañez, the legend, just continues to grow. Actually doesn't have all that many hits yet. Just the ones he has been huge. Other than that, I think this is a good time for you to jump in.
So the guys that I'm really circling on, one, Mark Canna, absolutely. I think he has been a breath of fresh air, not only for his hitting ability, but just approach at the plate, discipline at the plate, OBP, you know, everything that we've heard about him so far he's looked the part. And I mentioned earlier, Carson Kelly, I mean, just absolute great start to the season. He's going to be your backup catcher no matter what AJ Hinch says, but I really, really like how he's swinging the bat early, and he's been one of your more impact players. You're one of the few impact players in the lineup so far. That said, I absolutely have to see more from Spencer Torkelson and Riley Green, and I'm willing to give Colt Keith a pass. Four games in, way too early to make any, you know, to me, Colt Keith looks like he's pressing a little bit too much. He's really trying to just hit the crap out of the ball early, you know, first kind of getting his feet wet in the major league. So once he settles in, I just need Colt Keith to be Colt Keith. But it's time for me, for Spencer Torkelson and Riley Green, to grow into the players that we are all expecting, and I assume they're expecting for themselves. If they're going to be the heart of the lineup moving forward, you cannot have the lack of production at the plate four games in that they've had. I mean, ice cold bats, Jordan. It's been so frustrating is not even the word. I need more from them, because this team is going to go as far as their quote unquote star players carry them. And these are the guys that are supposed to be the face of the franchise, and they're not prospects anymore. They're not kids anymore. Come on, boys, take that step.
Yeah. And I feel like this was such a big year, and I don't want to extrapolate. It has been, so we're recording this. Well, nice. It's Tuesday night.
Yeah.
We're recording this Tuesday night. We are four games in. So I don't want to, you know, have the alarm bells ringing, but I was really hoping for a hot start for those two guys. Like, it's such an important year. I was really hoping that they would get off to a hot start and never look back. You know, if they got hot this, excuse me, this coming week, all of a sudden this conversation is completely different next week. So I'm not concerned. Like, I'm not saying, oh man, what is happening to our boys? But it would have been really nice to see them get off to a hot start. I mean, it's been crazy. Some of the guys that like have almost stepped up despite them. Gio Urshela has played pretty well. Like you say, Carson Kelly. I want to get into Parker Meadows a little bit. He's currently hitting 100, and yet it still feels like he has done something impressive and useful every single game so far. Like, he's such a strange player, and I love it.
I totally agree. And I unfortunately, I think he is getting more of a pass in my mind. It sounds like yours than he necessarily deserves. But at that same point, he's looked great in the field. He looks like he's having solid at-bats. It just, the results aren't there yet. And everything that you just said, absolutely right. Like, Torque, Riley, Colt Keith, Parker Meadows, they could go on a tear over the next week, and it makes all this a moot point. The weather is cold. We all know how bats work when the weather is cold. But, you know, once the weather warms up, these guys got to start hitting a little bit. And Parker Meadows is part of that conversation. Play elite defense. Yeah. I don't need you to be a silver slugger, but I do need him to hit his weight and basically just continue a little bit of what he did in spring training. The one thing that really kind of concerns me about Torkelson is he looks real slow on the fastball. Like, he just can't catch up to it. Mark Gorosh has been talking about a ton of this on Twitter. Like, he looks like a couple years ago Torque, where we're just kind of waiting for it to all come together, and he just was striking out a ton. He just couldn't catch up to it. And then last year he kind of figured it out. But between the spring training numbers, which were non-existent for him, and how he's starting this season, there's a little bit of cause of concern for me.
Yeah, maybe it's just a slow start. Like, at every, I feel like it's been beaten to death, but at every level when he got there, he had a little bit of a slow start and eventually figured it out. Hopefully it's just a little bit of a slow start to the season, as you know, the change in level from spring training, and that he'll figure it out. And like you say, it's been cold. I feel like that's a stick that'll, or I was going to say a stick to beat people with, but what it would be the opposite of that, an excuse that we give players all the time. I don't know. It hasn't looked good. Like you say, with Parker Meadows, the at-bats have looked good and you expect success to come. I'm not saying it's not going to come with Torque, but eyeball test is not pretty at the moment. But that being said, he hit, what, 34 homers last year, most of them in the second half. Like, he's the type of guy that can explode. Yeah, it just would have been really nice to get him off to a hot start. But yeah, I agree on Colt Keith. Like, four games in, I'm not too awfully concerned.
And he's looked decent in the field. I mean, I know he's an adequate defender. But what I saw, especially yesterday, the first game in New York, I thought he made some nice plays. He's never going to be a gold glove guy, but just make the plays that come to you and hit the way that you have the ability to. And I think he is going to be a pretty solid major leaguer, and he'll get there in time. So again, I think he's pressing a little bit. I think he's trying to show up and earn that contract a little too early with every swing, but he's going to get there. So,
which is human nature. Like, I don't have any issue with that being, kind of his thoughts. Like, it would be very difficult specifically as a kid at his age to not. But I mean, any age, you're given the contract, you immediately want to go out there and prove it. Like, it's pretty easy to see how that happens. He's a good player. He'll be fine.
And you mentioned Urshela. He reminds me of the guy that you hate to play against, but you're so happy he's on your team. He's just pesky. He's a little bit of a tough out. He makes the right plays at third. He makes the right play when he's at the plate, whether it could just be a bloop single or the one where he just reached out and kind of slapped it for the base hit. So I'm a fan of Urshela so far. And some of the bench guys have done a nice job too.
You know who Urshela reminds me of is just the archetypal twin. Like the type of twin that we hate going against, three times a year. That's him, I don't hate having one of those.
No, not at all. Nope, you need to have those pesky guys where the opposing fan base are just pulling their hair out because they get, they're two strikes down and they slap a single to center field for an RBI, and you can't explain it. They just do it.
Kind of been Andy Ibañez' role too so far. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk a little about Kenta Maeda? Because as previously mentioned, Tigers Twitter seems to be about done with him, especially after Matt Manning's opening night start. you gonna give my man some leeway here? Or are you ready to ship him down the road too?
Yeah, he's got a little bit of a longer leash for me. I mean, he's a veteran guy. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I have the belief and what I've looked at in the past, he's a slow starter regardless. So I'm going to give him at least a couple starts before any eyebrows start to raise. I mean, the Tigers were going to have one pitcher that kind of had a little bit of a dud through this four-game set. You're not going to blow everybody away right out of the gate. So this happened to be Kenta Maeda, and I think he's going to be better in his next start, and I think he's going to build on from that. Now, if he come, mid-May has a 5-plus ERA, yeah, sure, let's talk about where he's going to go in the rotation. You're going to move him to the bullpen. You're going to give him a little bit of a breath, call up Matt Manning. But I am not overly concerned about Kenta Maeda so far. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. And he's on the 2-year deal. I think short of injury, he's going to make a start every fifth day. I kind of don't see, like, unless we are in a divisional, dogfight, which I kind of think if we win the division, it might be going away. But unless it's absolutely necessary, he's going to start every fifth game. And I think we will soon enough be good with that.
Yeah.
At least I hope so.
And again, he does not have to be an ace. I know they kind of signed him to be the number two guy, but if he can be a solid innings eater and, he can keep the damage to a minimum and keep the boys in the game, that's great for Kenta Maeda. I mean, he's a mid-30-year-old pitcher, right? Like, he's not in his prime. So, temper the expectations a little bit with this guy. I know, he was somewhat of the big free agent signing of the season, but he is who he is at this point in his career.
Yeah, for sure. Kind of a bummer that there was a rain out tonight. I think we're trending towards one. Super, super ready to see Casey pitch, but we'll get to see him plenty of times. Let's jump back to the hitters. So we faced two left-handed pitchers, Sean Manaea, a couple nights ago, might have even last night, these all run together, and Garrett Crochet on opening day. Not the greatest swings against left-handers, especially considering like we kind of have a lineup that we can tailor to facing lefties. You're expecting Mark Canha to, he's 0-for-5 on the year against lefties. Vierling, I'm approaching being done with Vierling, but I think that's more just that he's a low key, super boring player, and we're drawn to the exciting ones. You'll nervous about how many lefties we're going to face this year in the division and how much damage that can do to us.
I was a big believer going into this season that they did not do enough to the lineup to basically keep their heads above water. They over the last couple of years, they've been one of the worst offenses in the league, and you didn't really add much. I like obviously Mark Canha, Gio Urshela, but those aren't big boomer guys. And maybe a little cause of concern, and Garrett Crochet absolutely chewed up the Braves tonight, which, he's had a nice start, but the fact that he absolutely looked like smoke against the Tigers, and then Manaea had like a perfect game going into the fifth inning. Yeah, it's not great. So there's a lot of lefties in the division, like you mentioned. Not great, Bob. But these right-handed hitters on the Tigers, they're going to have to kind of show up a little bit more. Otherwise, it's, this team is going to be carried by their pitching, but they will be able to go so much farther if the lineup can put together good night after good night after good night. And, you're not going to be able to win one-run games all the time,
Yeah, and I think that's something to be celebrated. Like, I always question, is it grinded out or ground out? Either way, we have grinded out some impressive wins so far that in past years, quite frankly, we just lose. Mm-hmm. So I'm very, very happy. I will take all the one run games, but yeah, eventually you're going to have to start winning by a substantial margin in some of these, or success will just dissipate. Ironically enough, second best hitter on the team against lefties right now is your boy, Javier Baez.
Javier Baez. You know what? The very small sample size of this season, he has impressed me with a couple things in terms of the way that he's gone about the game. The strikeouts and the frustrations are still very much there, but that huge stolen base in the Chicago series, the plays that he's making in the New York series. If he can start to string together a little bit of better at bats, continue to play good defense and just be a good teammate and you know, exist in the eight hole, that's all right for me. You're not, you, I think that the Javier Baez, you know, almost slipped up there. Javier Baez of the past is long gone. So let's see what kind of player he's going to turn himself into with the time that he has.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that I suggested he sell out to just become a pure power hitter. But I, the inverse of that is also true. If he can just try to keep things simple and do the little things, and kind of we kind of come to the realization that him as the big money free agent signing is a sunk cost right now. Like we are not getting our money's worth out of that contract. But if we can get something, if we have to keep playing him, that is better than what we've gotten to this point over the last 2 years. That being said, I still think he should sell out and just try and hit the ball out of the park.
You know, as hard as I've been on him, every time he goes up to the plate, I'm waiting for him to hit a home run and prove me wrong. Pretty much every at bat, I'm like, this is the time. And every time, it's just a swing in the dirt.
You know, one of these times, it's going to be the time.
I'm going to ask you this right now. Over under 15 bombs for Javier Baez this season.
I mean, that's a great number. That's exactly where I would put it. I'll probably go under, but
I'll take the
imagine
under.
Imagine
he
just pulls like a 30 homer season out of his butt. That's not out of the question. He's done it before. He just sucks now. Did we do that to him?
I guess
don't know.
So.
Maybe we did.
Maybe
we earned it.
Do you remember opening day 2022 when he hit the walk-off home run where they had to review it?
I
think it hit the fence. I was like, okay, you know, this is you know, I keep going back to that podcast we did together where right after they signed him and we were both kind of like, this is not great. And I was like, okay, this guy's going to prove me wrong. And then ever since then, we've actually been quite correct.
I think my exact phrase was, he can't be worse than Zach Short. Turns out the very next year he was in fact worse than Zach Short, which is that's an accomplishment.
And we saw
also maybe a little bit on me. I don't know.
Zach Short sighting last night, which I loved. There's something about players like Zach Short that, you know, you're just old friend alert and a big smile on your face when you see him in the game, even on another team.
Especially kind of like Andrew Romine, those guys that like they probably shouldn't have been big leaguers with us, but, you know, it was a good place to be a 4A type of guy for a couple of years. Yeah. I feel like when Brandon Dixon kind of had a couple runs like that over the last couple of years, too.
Brandon Dixon?
A low-key decent player for
us. Yeah, he had led the team in home runs in 2019, I believe, which is we can't talk about that season ever. I'm sorry.
Oh, my gosh. That's bad. You have down here that the City Connect jerseys are coming. You excited about that?
No. You are a fan. I'm not a fan. I'm quite nervous about what these are going to look. But at this point, the Fanatics jerseys for all the teams are as bad or worse than I was expecting. I mean, the lettering on the back is just atrocious. And then all of the logos on the front of the jerseys are considerably smaller. I think like the coloring on the Tigers road jersey, the orange is noticeably smaller. It just looks cheap. So I'm like, at this point, what are you going to roll out that is going to look passable at all for these City Connects jerseys? And is it going to be a pizza jersey? Is it going to be an oil change? What is it going to look like for the Detroit Tigers? Who knows? I'm just expecting to be disappointed.
Honestly, we could do worse than a pizza jersey. Like, there are worse options than that.
That's true.
I saw it on Twitter today, and I told Witt, like, it's half excitement, half dread. Like, I'm excited to see what it looks like, and I know it's going to look terrible. But she told me, and this is what I'm going with, I am waiting until I see it to be disappointed, because what if it isn't terrible? It's probably going to be terrible. Everything we make is terrible. The spring training hat's terrible. They have been for years. Like, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm probably still going to buy it, but
I mean, you know what? Terrible. At the very least, it's something different, right? Like, the Tigers have only had two uniforms minus the Fiesta Tigres, which is cool, forever. Mm-hmm. So something to add into the mix is kind of cool. I wasn't a huge fan of, they weren't City Connect a couple of years ago where they all had the.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The V-neck jerseys, do you remember that? And they were off color, different colored. All of the teams had different styles.
I don't, actually.
Yeah. I was not a fan of those for the Tigers either.
Yeah. You want to jump ahead to this coming week?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. So we got one more with the Mets. I'm assuming tonight gets rained out. What's the latest there?
We are at, right now is 9:15 PM Eastern. I think they're trying to get this one in. If I was an employee at the ballpark, I'd be beside myself because you've been hanging out for hours for something that probably is not going to happen, but they got to sell beer and pretzels, right? So I think this one's probably going to get rained out. It sounds like tomorrow's going to get rained out too. So I don't know if they're going to try to do a double header on Thursday or what that's going to look like, because this is the only time they're going to New York to play the Mets. But yeah, you've got two more theoretically against the Mets. You are, as it stands right now, have an off day on Thursday, and then you start the first home series against the Athletics of Oakland for the time being, soon to be Las Vegas.
Yeah, I was looking through like, oh, who are we gonna see this week? There is absolutely nobody that I'm interested in seeing with Oakland. I mean, there's a reason that they've been the worst team in baseball the last couple of years. I am excited to watch O'Neill Cruz, though. Mm-hmm. He's a stud. He's just a fun player. Him and Ellie De La Cruz, kind of similar players, both extremely tall shortstops, both got some pop, got some speed. Two guys that, like, I don't know, you just turn the TV on to watch him play. And I have in my notes, hopefully not Paul Skeen, because he is already extremely filthy. You see, he threw three perfect innings on opening night at AAA.
Yeah, I mean, he's ready for the show, right? Like, they're just wasting bullets having him throw down there. They need to get him up on the big club, hopefully after the Tigers are past the Pirates here. But yeah, Paul Skeen, he's going to be the next big thing. He looks absolutely nasty.
Yeah, they're down in Indy. I told Witt that we should try and get down to see him play before he gets called up. And I'm like, I don't think that's going to happen, unfortunately. He's a freak. So we talked about booing and whatnot, the rainouts. We were scheduled to face another lefty tomorrow in Jose Quintana. Not a great lefty, but still a decent one. Not the worst thing in the world to avoid that, at least at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, he knows the Tigers well from his divisional days with the White Sox. So he is someone that I don't mind missing as much as I'd like to see a baseball game, so maybe get shuffled around. But here's a question for you. If the next two games do get rained out, and for whatever reason they don't do the doubleheader on Thursday, do you think Tarik Skubal takes the ball on opening day in Detroit, or are they going to keep the Kenta Maeda plan?
Oh, I think you have to move him there. First of all, I think that would make more sense from a just rotational perspective, but also, like, got the big crowd. I think you have to throw him.
I think so too, for what it's worth.
Yeah, that'd be good. That would be fun. Hopefully that is the case. Jumping around the minor leagues, the Mud Hens appear to be the only team that have started. I know double and single A aren't too awfully far behind, but I can't remember off the top of my head when they start. Our boy Matt Manning had a really nice day on opening day. Five innings pitched, only one earned run, seven Ks. Clearly, he's taking this demotion well, which you like to see. Didn't want him to go down there and sulk. He's obviously not doing that. He is going to contribute at some point. It's good to see him keeping it up.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody noticed this or it was just me picking up on nothing, but the promo shots that he shot in the Mudhead jerseys, he just kind of looked dead inside, I will say. And I totally get it, Matt Manning. I'm sorry. But you know what? He's doing everything that you'd want him to do for his first start. Just go out, continue to be the pitcher that you have the ability to be, because you are going to get a call at some point this season. It could be sooner than later. So very pleased to see that. I know Keeter Montero looked real good, six Ks over four on Saturday, but Brent Herder and Wilmer Flores absolutely destroyed on Sunday.
Not great.
No, not great.
Herder, after watching him in the breakout game, honestly kind of became one of my boys. That was one of the ones I'm like checking to see when his first start was. not a great first start, but that's the great thing about baseball is give him another 4 or 5 days or whatever it is, and he'll be back out there. He seems, and I think this is part of why I love him. I'm not a traditional fan when it comes to, I love watching greatness. I love watching like interesting things. What I love about Brant Herder is it seems like from inning to inning, he can become a completely different pitcher. Like one inning, he can be absolutely locked in and you think, man, this is the best pitcher in the world. And then the next inning, he can't spot anything. I find that kind of interesting. I think that's part of why I like him so much. Hopefully it's more domination than can't spot anything, but I like a little variety.
Not making this,
especially in the minor leagues.
I'm not making this comparison in terms of the pitcher, but what you described reminds me a little bit of Max Scherzer when he first arrived in Detroit.
Yeah, there we go. I mean, that is factually accurate. I think he would be thrilled at that comp, but that would be a great outcome for my boy. We're just going to go with that. Make him prove to us that comp isn't true.
Right. And I'm not saying that Brant Herder is going to become Max Scherzer by any means, but if you remember, you know, Max Scherzer looked lights out at times, and then he gets sent down to Toledo and he's got to work on some stuff, comes back up, and then he put it all together. But, you know, the results were very mixed in the beginning for Mr. Scherzer. So, you know, that could be most minor league pitchers, but I agree with you. Brant Herder sometimes looks like a world beater, then other times he looks like me out there.
I'm 1,000% going to tweet when I'm mowing the show on Twitter that you compare him to Max Scherzer in this week's episode.
You heard it here first.
Spot the lie.
I'm going to put a futures bet for Brant Herder Cy Young 2028. Cy Young.
Only a real deviant book is offering you odds on that.
If you're out there, hit me up.
I love that you had the specific year too. Not 29, not 27.
I've got some inside intel. Yeah, 27, he completely blows up.
Of course. So he not only takes it from inning to inning, but year to year. I love a double pattern like that.
That's the script.
All right, let's jump to Tiger King Crown. There's a couple options for this week.
So
who gets the nod for you?
So for me, and I put this in the show sheet, I've got Carson Kelly, you know, my darling of the first week of the season. And then just the bullpen as a whole. I mean, they look nasty, filthy. This is the bullpen that we've been waiting for two decades. Like you said earlier, can you imagine this bullpen in the Miguel Cabrera teams in their heyday? Like this team would have been unstoppable. And it's early. They're going to have nights where, you know, something goes wrong. Absolutely. But the quality of pitchers that they have in the bullpen, the way they look so far matched with Chris Fetter, yeah, they get my Tiger Crown this week. How about you?
I think we've already given him one, but I'm going to give him another because it's been just such a delight. Jason Benetti is just, he's next level. I love him. I'm not going to say that he is a bigger portion of the show than the game itself. But he's certainly as big. Like the voice on top of, you know, the game is huge. And when it's so good, yeah. Huge fan. It has been it's been a good start to the year for him. Just need to shore up that second chair in the booth. Mm. But he has been he's been everything that I had hoped for.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I mean, the way he calls the game, his baseball knowledge, his storytelling ability, you know, his really dry sense of humor and his wit, which was undersold.
I love that. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. He has been such a tremendous addition to this broadcast team. Craig Monroe gets a little too excitable for me, but I think, you know, they're going to hone that in. I like Craig overall. I like Craig. I don't know if I like him as the color guy on a day-to-day basis, but I think he's a good host. I mean, the guy's very passionate about this organization and loves to be involved as a former player. And, you know, he's part of that 06 team, so he's got some nostalgia. But Jason Benetti carries him. If they had a really great color guy that was on the level of Jason Benetti, you know, they'd win endless Emmys or whatever that award is for broadcasting. But I completely agree.
That might be too many good things for us to handle.
That's right.
We like to have Dan in the radio booth, him in the play-by-play on TV, and a good color guy. And I'm not sure that the universe isn't going to align like that. That's just not how it works.
Can't have anything in Detroit. You're right.
Oh, boy. All right. Are you ready to jump to listener questions?
Yeah, and we have a lot of them this week. I'd sincerely like to thank all the listeners for submitting questions. We hit up Reddit this week, too, and we just got a ton of feedback. So if we don't get to you, I apologize, but please keep sending them in on a weekly basis. So Dylan Kern on Twitter asks, what is the best seat in the ballpark? If it varies, then what about Comerica Park? What say you?
Oh, so I have an extreme hot take here, and I know that this is probably not the popular take. The seats when I'm going and I'm the one that gets to pick where we're sitting, I pick the cheapest seats in the house. The skyline seats that are at the top, down like tops, top bowl down the left field line, so that you're like basically right by the Giants scoreboard. You get to see all of downtown Detroit, like over the game. You know, you're looking down in, I mean, you're a million miles away from the action. You're not going to see the spin on the pitches or anything like that. But I feel like for full coverage ambiance, that's the best. And usually there's also no one up there, which is always a plus.
Yeah, absolutely.
How about you?
I'm going to take the opposite approach. I like to be as close as I can get, and I don't have the money for those seats, but I will buy the seats where you are and try to, you know, sneak down there and find where there's some.
You're a sneaker.
Seats.
Interesting.
I have been my whole life, much more in my youth than today. But yeah, I sprung on some Father's Day tickets for my dad and I to be right behind the nets
nice.
A couple years ago, and it was a great, even though they got bludgeoned by the Tampa Bay Rays like 13-0. It was a great experience. As my grandfather used to say, you know, I like to be able to smell their sweat. That's how close I want to be, which is disgusting. But I like to hear the interactions between the players and the umpires, the players and the benches, kind of hear the game as it's going on. So the closer I can be, the better. That's my, experience. And, I think we've talked about it on a previous episode, best place that I've ever seen a game is Camden Yards in Baltimore. How about you?
It is very, yeah. I would say either Camden or PNC in Pittsburgh. Mm. As previously mentioned, big bridge guy. I mean, there's bridges right behind the stadium. Like, it's hard to top that. So, yeah, those are probably two of my top that I would say. Low key underrated, the K in Kansas City, Kauffman Stadium. Mm. I really liked that one, which is one that I feel like nobody ever talks about.
You're right.
Maybe I'm just easily impressed. I don't know, but I was impressed.
You know, I've heard players mention that that's a cool place to go. I've never, in terms of people that want to go see all the parks, I've never heard the K mentioned too often, but really interesting. I will be visiting Rogers Center and Fenway later this season to see the Tigers play. So
nice.
I will report back on that.
I thought the Rogers Center was low-key underrated too.
Oh yeah.
Like another one that nobody ever talks about, but I enjoyed that one too. I haven't been to Fenway.
When we're offline here, I'll have to get your recommendations for around the park and everything to do. All right.
One more thing before we move to the next one. Do you have a strategy for sneaking down two seats that are not yours?
You got to wait at least a couple innings. I say like fourth inning and beyond, and I'm not advocating for any listeners to do this, but come on, we all kind of do it, right?
Of course not.
So I'll say in my heyday and when I used to do this often when I was younger, I'd wait until about the fourth inning and I'd be scouting out, you know, a row of four seats as soon as I got there. Look for the corporate seats, right? You don't want to steal somebody's seat that has a ticket, but, you know, the corporate seats that are close, maybe along the first baseline or the third baseline. And if you're about the fourth inning and nobody's sitting there consistently, you just got to know, look like you know what you're doing. And, you know, don't make eye contact with the ushers. Just walk down there. You know, if they ask for your ticket, say, oh, I tossed it out earlier this Saturday there. I don't know if you could do that with phones anymore, but I've had a lot of success where I haven't been popped too often, and I've been able to see really, really close or get up close with the cheapest tickets in the house. That said, I have been bounced before. It's embarrassing. It does happen, but like I said, those are my younger days.
The threat of being bounced would supersede the thrill of being close. I think that's just like a personality defect, but I would be unable to relax assuming that my time would be coming.
That's fair. And I will say it's so much easier to do when any of the local teams are bad. You know, if it's a packed house, you're resigned to the ticket that you have. But if you are going to see, you know, the Tigers team in the last couple of years in the middle of the summer, or the dog days of summer, they are not really going to blink at you if you're moving down a little bit. So that is my unsolicited, unofficial advice if you are trying to get closer with a cheap ticket.
I feel like we've all learned something tonight.
I'm a deviant. What can I say? All right. Aaron Caverly on Twitter, and a similar question from Striking Nobody 1481 on Reddit. How good is AJ Hinch when he has the pieces to make the right moves? Whew. Masterful stuff at the end of game three, setting up Andy Ibañez. I mean, so understated. AJ Hinch is just proving to be among the best managers in the game, in my opinion, this season already.
Yeah, I feel like people forget that he's not somebody we should have had access to. He should have been the Astros manager forever. Like, he should be at one of the best teams in baseball. We had a fluke occurrence, the, you know, sign-stealing thing that allowed him to be on the market. We are so fortunate to have him. He's as good as it gets.
I mean, I remember when the Tigers signed him, people were saying, yeah, this is a pretty fair punishment for him to have to go to Detroit after what happened with the scandal, right?
They're not wrong.
But you see what he's doing today, and it's like, you know, Rod Gardenhire couldn't think of doing that in a fever dream. Or, you know, just the way that he's mixing. And the game is different today, for sure. And I say that tongue-in-cheek. Yeah. But he is absolutely one of the best managers in the game, in my opinion.
Yep. Love him. And even more important than that, he hired the best pitching coach in the game.
That's right.
I mean, the game recognizes game.
And it appears.
Do kids still say that anymore? You're young. I don't know.
We're the same age. let's assume they do. But you know what I love about AJ too is it seems like he's here to stay. I mean, he signed the extension. He's saying all the right things. He's not given any indication that he's going to leave. So as long as the organization does their part and puts the team around him and gives him pieces to manage, we can ride this thing to who knows where.
Who knows where? To the moon, as I know the kids say that, or at least they did like a year and a half ago.
I love it. All right, this is going to be tough. LTPRWSG420 on Reddit. Do you think if the Tigers are contenders this season, should Jackson Jobe be called up? And I know this question was in reference to like a late season call up and kind of stick him in the bullpen and just get one of your best arms of the system on the team for a stretch run. But what do you think, Jordan?
I think should is doing a lot of work in that sentence or question, because should, absolutely. I feel like I will take Brandon Fatt for an example with the Diamondbacks last year. Look at the role he played in their run. He was maybe rushed up a little bit during the season, but he was huge in their run to the World Series. An electric arm like Jackson Jobe can have that impact. That being said, they absolutely are almost certainly not going to do that. So I will put emphasis on where you say should, and the answer is, for me, is yes. How about you?
I agree. I think the organization's a little too conservative. It would be a great move for them to do if, you know, they're just looking for their best possible pitchers and he excels this season like we're expecting to. And add a little bit of context. This question, he said, for the record, I'm thinking bullpen role for the September stretch into the playoffs, like David Price for the Rays in 2008 or Wainwright for the Cardinals in 2006. So yeah, great examples, great questions. Just like you. Would love to see it. Don't anticipate it's going to happen, regardless of the outcome.
And I want to say one more thing before we move off of this. We've both been pretty strongly on the record and saying maybe we're moving a little bit conservatively on Jackson Jobe. That being said, I will trust Harris and Fetter it for now to move him at the pace that they see fit. It is frustrating to me. I think we should be pushing him. I think he's ready for it. But I'm at a point with them that I'm willing to trust. Whereas in previous regimes, absolutely not. Like, borderline feel like I knew as well as they did. For right now, I'm deferring to their judgment. So we'll see.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm sure there's a lot we don't know coming off of a major back injury last season. So, yeah. You know, they've not given me any reason not to trust them so far. And I'm with you. But, you know, circle back and not belabor it. I would be delightfully surprised if we see it this season.
Yeah, it would be sick. Because I feel like if we do, it'll absolutely mean that we're in the thick of things.
We'll go nuts. So, and I'm gonna earmark this question for if and when it happens. Give a shout out to that Redditor. All right. Mm-hmm. This is a question that you will enjoy. Christopher Yates on Reddit. Should Andy Ibañez be an everyday player?
I think he should be in... most days player. I feel like there is room between this is a guy that's in the lineup every single day and this is a guy that only faces lefties, and I think that's where Andy Abania should live. Is that fair?
I think so.
How about you?
Like the higher percentage of a platoon player? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Even if it's not split up like hand wise.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I do not believe that. I think he'll get exposed as our everyday player. I don't think he's an everyday major league player, at least at this point in his career. And he could hit his way into it. But as it stands now, I think he's a dangerous platoon piece, a dangerous bench piece, and a piece that can be utilized in the right spots, as he has been already this season, as we've seen, to be a productive player when you need him. So no to being an everyday player, yes to being a productive, often seen player, like you mentioned.
Yeah, there you go. And I also think that the more he plays at second base, the more protected Colt Keith is going to be from being exposed early. Pitchers adjust. Like they are cruel to young hitters. Giving him some kind of frequent breathers to catch his breath in this first year, I don't think that's going to be a problem. And hopefully Andy is largely the one that gets it, not your boy, hashtag fire up chips, McKinstry.
McKinstry, though, he's, that double play where, how could I forget, Jason Benetti screamed fire up chips and I jumped out of my seat.
I'm surprised you didn't clip that.
You know I wanted to. I was just a little too lazy. And then finally, from BobTree12 on Reddit, are the Tigers always going to see Cary Carpenter as someone who can't hit lefties? It's hard for him to get better there when he never gets a chance to face them. What are your thoughts on Cary Carpenter so far?
I love Cary. Like he is a very good player. Historically, he just hasn't hit lefty. Like I completely understand what you're saying. And in the minors, he had a little bit of track record of hitting lefties. But I feel like at this point, like he's not a rookie. We've seen a decent amount. I think we would know if my man could hit lefties. I don't know. I'm probably good keeping him where he is. But I can see why somebody would want to see what that looks like. He hit 235 last year with no power against lefties. Like it's not terrible, but it's not great. And I don't know. I think that there's enough other good options that I don't really think there's a reason to force it. But that's just my opinion. What about you?
Yeah, and again, just my opinion, but I think for the people clamoring to see Cary Carpenter against lefties, you're going to see it at some point this season, and you're going to see why he doesn't. He mashes righties, but he really struggles against lefties, and there's a reason why they've utilized him the way they are. And there's going to be opportunities where he can hit lefties throughout the season, but going back to just trusting AJ Hinch, if they thought he could do it, he would already be getting every day at bats, regardless of who's on the mound.
Exactly.
Yep. So,
and I think that there's a little bit of a paradigm shift that we need to employ on him too. We're no longer in the era where somebody has to play 162 games, hit righties, lefties the same. Like having a guy that just mashes righties, that's perfectly fine. Like that's something that's extremely valuable and something that like, every team is looking for. We have one, and he not only hits lefty or hits righties, but he hits them for power. Like that is something to fill in the lineup. What is it? 65-70% of games. That's good. Like full stop. That's good. If he could hit lefties, that would be better, obviously. And frequently, there's never going to be a game where you're only facing lefties like all game long. Even in those other games, he's probably going to get a pinch hit at bat, and then you're picking a spot that you really want him to hit in. So, like, it's kind of – it's okay. Like, let's just let the man do his thing and hope that Colt Keith does not fall into the same category, because that would be a bummer. But
yeah, I mean, you're probably going to see Cary Carpenter in most games anyway, kind of like what we just talked about with Andy Ibañez. You know, whether he's starting or coming off the bench – depending on the matchup, he's going to get in the game because his bat is that good.
Yeah, and that's cool. I love it.
Absolutely. That's it for listener questions, but I know one thing people were curious about was our take on the pizza spear.
Do you have strong feelings about the pizza spear?
You know, I really didn't like it at first. I thought it was a little bit too on the nose for an organization that owns Little Caesars. And lest we forget that it's the same organization that put the patch for a garbage company on the Red Wing sweaters. That said, it's silly. It's fun. The players like it. It hasn't, you know, spiraled into a losing streak like the Wings patch or the Zubaz from a couple of years ago. They say that it's player driven. It's not organizational driven. Here's my thing. And I know you tweeted about this, so I don't want to steal your thunder, but they got to figure out something to do with it. You can't just march around with it awkwardly and throw it on the ground. You got to like get a blow up of the Jets spaceman delivery guy and spear him and throw him over the dugout. Absolutely. You got to figure out something cool to do with it. You can't, you know, they got, what are they going to do with it? That's my question. But how do you feel about the pizza spear?
I mean, I'm all for silly things. On the nose was the exact statement that went through my mind. Like, are we really doing this? But, you know, Little Caesars. Like, my thought is maybe have the bite, sip, sip guy in the dugout to celebrate with. I mean, surely he's not really doing anything right now. It's been a year since they filmed that. Maybe have that be the collab that I would laugh at every time. I guarantee
they literally
get mariachi a little.
They
together.
Need to get the band back together. Literally get the mariachi band back together.
I would be so in on that. That to this day is probably my all time favorite commercial.
I totally agree. But the last thing on the pizza spear, whether you love it or hate it, the more often that we see it, it's a good thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Yeah, we like to see the pizza spear. Maybe we can. I do agree. I think there needs to be more in company or encompassing of rival pizza brands. I think that's a good step.
They're going to put like the Hungry Howie's blonde guy on the top of the spear or something. Not real people.
Yeah,
obviously.
Doesn't he have like a necklace made out of pizza anyway? I feel like that's a natural transition.
Absolutely. Michigan company too. Get some Domino's in there. I mean, we are the pizza center of the world, regardless of what New York or Chicago spews.
That's a good point. What is it about Michigan that just inspires such pizza greatness? I had kind of hadn't really thought that through, but that's definitely true.
Miserable winter. So you need good comfort food.
I mean, that's the correct answer. You are not wrong about that.
Cool. I think that's it for this week, Jordan. Anything you wanted to say in close before we wrap up here?
I don't think so. Just that, I don't know. Like you forget how much you love baseball until, especially over, and I feel like we've discussed this, like these last couple of years have kind of beat the fandom out of us a little bit. Like they've been tough. And I feel like there was enough kind of low key chatter, like, yeah, maybe this could be a year coming into this year that it was pretty easy to get excited and then off to this hot start. I don't know. It's reawakening a little bit. Like there's a reason to check the box score every night, like follow along, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's sweet. Hopefully it sticks. And if not, we'll still be doing this. So we'll be doing all those things anyway. So.
No, I completely agree. My fandom has been, in a way, reinvigorated. It's not all because of the start, but it certainly helps. I mean, it's so much easier to root for a winner and a team that you actually enjoy. And I think this team is built for a little bit of success. So I always look forward to this on a weekly basis, Jordan. Thank you very much to everyone out there in listener land giving us a listen. We truly, truly appreciate it.
Enjoy your opening day tailgate.
Oh, that's right.
You'll have to hit me with some stories.
Absolutely. Friday, April 5th, see you in downtown Detroit. But new episodes of the Eat 'Em Up Pod every Wednesday. You are hosted by Jay Hall. I am at @aurban91, and the podcast is at Eat 'Em Up Pod. Don't forget to listen, like, and subscribe. We would love some positive reviews for us as we continue to get this thing off the ground. And thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.